Live from Music City, Nashville, Tennessee. Two guys fumbling their way through the music business so you don't have to. Here they are. It's Scott and it's Hino and the Music Row Show.
All right. Well, that song just gets me every
it just
week.
It never gets old, does it?
It doesn't. It doesn't until we record a new one.
Yeah.
Then, well, then I'm glad I'm done with that dang song. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Music Row Show. My name is Scott.
And my name is Hino. Thanks so much for tuning in. As you know, this show is for all you songwriters and musicians and performers out there who just want to figure stuff out here in Music City.
That's right. Now, just remember, we've been doing this for almost 10 years.
10 years.
Yeah. And we have no idea what we're talking about.
It becomes clearer and clearer every week.
Every week.
Yeah.
Every week, these guys are idiots. But what we are able to do is find brilliant, smart, talented, intelligent people to pick their brains and talk about their careers and learn something from them.
Yeah, and you can chime in with some questions. You can go to facebook.com/TheMusicRowShow. Like us and chime in with your questions and comments there. And, of course, you can always just do it the old-fashioned way and send us an email at mail@TheMusicRowShow.com.
Is that really the old-fashioned way?
It is these days, yeah, yeah. You know, after the show, you can hit us up on Instagram as well. So,
what about our Tinder site? Have you talked about
that? You know what?
Lately?
That one's on the we don't publish that one.
No?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All
so
right.
Just on the Tinder site.
All right.
But we got a legendary show tonight.
We do.
Got rock and roll and rockabilly legend Wanda Jackson joining us in the studio first hour.
That's right. And then Grammy-nominated songwriter and subject of the documentary The Last Songwriter, Jamie Floyd, is going to be here in hour two to talk about her career, her new album, and just
she's
stuff.
The last one?
She's the last one. I got bad news.
Dang. What happens after that?
Well, then they do a documentary about us, the worst songwriters.
The worst songwriters.
Yeah.
So bad we didn't even count them.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
Right.
They didn't even make the list. All right, Scott, why don't you do the honors? Let's introduce our guest here.
Before we do that...
Hey, I know what you're going to say.
Why don't we play some Wanda Jackson?
I think that's a brilliant
and
idea.
And then we'll introduce her.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Excellent.
He left me this morning. Midnight was turning day. Yeah, he left me this morning. Midnight was turning day. I didn't have no blues till my good man went away. The old lady, oh, lady, oh, oh, lady, got the blues like midnight, moon shining bright as day. Blues like midnight, moon shining brightest day. And I wish a tornado would come and blow my blues away. The old lady, oh, oh lady, oh, oh lady, now one of these mornings I'm gonna leave this town. Yeah, one of these mornings I'm gonna leave this town. Cause you try for little men, really keep a good gal down. The old lady, oh, oh lady, oh lady, when a woman's down, you men don't want her round. When a woman's down, you men don't want her around, rascal. But if she's got money, she's the sweetest gal in town. The older lady, oh, lady, older lady. Hey, looky here, buddy, see what you've done. Yeah, looky here, buddy, see what you done. You made me love you. Now you wreck your mama's home. The older lady, old lady, old lady, got the blues like midnight, don't shine as bright as day. Love, love, got the blues like midnight, moonshine and brightest day. And I wish a tornado would blow my blues away. The old lady, oh, lady, oh, oh, lady. Right or wrong, I'll be with you. For I believe that I belong by your side, right or wrong. Right or wrong, it's gotta be. Always you, always me. Right or wrong, if it's right for me to love you, it can't be wrong for me to care. If you will say you love me, my life with you I'll share. Right or wrong, day by day. Right or wrong.
Down past the bottom, falling harder than a stone. Can't remember any good times that I've known. Lower and lower, down past the bottom where the devil won't go. Down past the bottom, nothing left to do but fail. No place to wander, nowhere left to sail. Sinking lower and lower, down past the bottom where the devil don't dwell. I got the feeling in your last letter could have been a little nicer, treated you better. Guess I'll have a whole lot of time for thinking, a lot of time for walking, a lot of time for drinking. Down past the bottom, down past the bottom where the devil won't go.
I got the feeling in your last letter could have been a little nicer, treated you better. Guess I'll have a whole lot of time for thinking, a lot of time for walking, a lot of time for drinking. Down past the bottom, down past the bottom, where the devil won't go. Down past the bottom, falling harder than a stone. The bottom where the devil won't go.
How about that?
That was awesome. That was Down Past the Bottom, Wanda Jackson.
All right. Now, okay, I think we've made everybody wait long enough. One of the first things I did when I moved to Nashville was to go to the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
And there's a video of this beautiful young lady with a guitar talking real sweet with a sweet voice. And then she starts singing the Elvis Presley hit, Hard-Headed Woman.
Oh, yeah.
And with this razor blade growl in her voice, and I'd never heard it, and it blew me away. And I went home, and I just started reading all about this woman who went from high schooler hit country singer to first lady of rock and roll to the queen of rockabilly to back to country, and then a German pop star, and then a gospel singer, and then back again. Johnny Cash's band called her a little tiger on stage. Bob Dylan called her an atomic fireball of a lady. She's held her own with Elvis and Jerry Lee and wasn't even old enough to vote yet. How there has not been a movie made about you, I don't know. I know there's been a documentary, but there should be a full-on Hollywood movie about your story. She's a member of the Rockabilly Hall of Fame, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, a bunch of other halls of fames. She continues to make music with some of rock and Americana's brightest names, countless top 40 records, top 10 hits, 31 studio albums, 60 plus years on the road, and just a living legend right here in the WSM studio. It is such an honor to say Wanda Jackson. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to the Music Row Show.
Yeah. Wow, this is so great. So happy to meet you.
I'm tired just listening.
Well, we're out of time, but it was so nice to have you here.
And
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, man. Well, when I was reading up on you and I read that you went to Capitol Hill High School, and then, of course, later you were signed by Capitol Records, it just kind of seemed like music was in the cards for you from the beginning. So what were your ambitions early on, and how did they compare to what you actually later on achieved?
I'm happy to say I've done exactly what I had planned on doing. From the time I was about six, I wanted to be a girl singer. Maybe I thought I had a choice, a girl or a boy.
These days, yeah.
I liked the way the girls dress, you know, so right. I wanted to be a girl singer and make records and have a band and be very popular, you know, maybe a movie star, you know,
sure.
Little girl's dream. But everything but the movie star so far I've been able to accomplish. And I had a lot of help, of course, along the way. But I feel quite fortunate.
Nice.
You know what I love about what she just said?
What's that?
Not a movie star. Yet.
Yet.
Well, I didn't really mean to say that.
Because it could still happen, you know?
At my age, I doubt it.
Hey, you never know. So, speaking of that, how done were you with recording and making new music before Jack White called and said he wanted to make a record with you? You had hit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2009, I believe?
Yes.
And were you kind of thinking, okay, as far as recording new music, I think I'm done, or were you still looking for more to do there?
Well, I hadn't done much original material until even Jack's album.
Right.
It's not originals. So I'll just insert right now, I'm working on a new album with quite a few originals.
Wonderful.
That I've been writing with Nashville writers here. So that's in the near future. I was hoping to continue to record some more, but I don't know how to answer that. I hadn't really thought about it that much. I kind of take things as they come.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm not going to go knocking on a door and say, would you like for me to record a record for you?
Right.
So if they come to me wanting to do an album, well, then that's better.
And were you like, Jack who?
Well, I had heard of Jack.
Yeah.
No, I think when he said, this is Jack White of White Stripes, I think I dropped the phone, actually. I said, okay, I regained my composure and talked with him. And yeah, he wanted to know if I was interested in doing an album for Third Man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I said, well, I'm going to have to think about it. Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't take long.
That's awesome.
I really enjoyed watching
the video for that.
Thunder on a Mountain.
Thunder on a Mountain. Right before you came in a little while ago. And that was great.
Oh, that whole recording is incredible.
I'm telling you. Yeah. Jack's arrangements, and he was a slave driver.
Was he really?
Yeah, he's cracking that whip all the time. And he'd say, now just push a little bit more, Wanda. Just give me. I said, Jack, you're wanting that 18-year-old dynamo.
Right.
You know, and I'm not sure I can do that. He said, yes, you can. Just keep going. So I'd have to do several takes until I got it the way he wanted to hear it.
Wow.
So he's a perfectionist, I guess, in that sense. And I learned a lot from him. And I wouldn't take anything for that experience.
That's great. We need to take a quick break. This segment's brought to you by our friends at Main Street Productions.
Yeah.
As we were just talking about Wanda's video, there are times when, if you're a songwriter or a musician out there, you need a music video.
Yeah.
These guys are great. They've been doing it for over 20 years. And
they own all the high-priced gadgets that you would need for shooting a video. They do a lot of feature
films.
They
do feature films, so you're using that equipment to do your music videos.
Exactly. And they do pop and country, bluegrass music videos, pretty much any genre. They're really good at what they do.
Check them out at mainstreamproductions.org. That's mainstreamproductions.org.
Yeah, we're going to be back with a whole lot more of Wanda Jackson here on the Music Row Show, so come on back. Welcome back to the Music Row Show. Woohoo! We're here with Wanda Jackson, and that is Shaking All Over off of her latest project, The Party Ain't Over, that she did with Jack White just a couple years ago.
What a great sound.
That, yeah. Big sound. Big band.
You sound fantastic.
Yeah.
You sound
love
great.
That a lot. In fact, it was a great performance you did on Letterman for that song and for that album. It was awesome. I love the fact that that you broke Mae West's record for being the oldest female to break onto the Billboard charts with an album.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
I'd forgotten about that one.
No, that's great. What's it like now, after such a long career, stepping in front of younger audiences and having them being enthusiastic about what you do after such a long career?
Well, it's just great. It's fabulous. I had been working, I won't call names or places, but with a country package mm-hmm. show thing, and it was mostly older people, you know, kind of a sea of gray hair mm-hmm. or a sea of bald heads. you know, they certainly enjoyed it, but the enthusiasm and the energy wasn't the same.
Right.
So when my audiences now are the young adults, and it's just, I mean, it blows me away every night. Like last night, this doesn't happen too often. When you're introduced, you get a standing O.
Right.
So that made me feel very welcome.
Oh, that's great.
Nice.
You, so many parts of your career, and we were just talking with Jamie Floyd, our second hour guest. We were talking a little bit during the break. So many parts of your career, you were a pioneer for women. You were the first one to do so many things. At the time that it was happening, were you conscious of the importance of the steps you were taking, or were you just having fun and just being lost in playing music?
I was just trying to hang on because nobody knew where that music was going, you know.
Right.
I'd just done country all my life so far. And, of course, it was Elvis that taught me into getting my feet wet and the rock and roll and trying
right.
it. And I told him I couldn't because I was a girl. We can't do that kind of music, you know. Mindset of the 50s.
Sure.
And, but he said, he assured me I could. I thought, well, he knows something I don't know then. So I began looking for material. Mm-hmm. And my friend wrote the greatest transition song from country to rock.
Mm-hmm.
One of mine called I Gotta Know.
That's a great song, by the way.
Well, I thought she did excellent.
And you're right, it does. It does a little bit of both, doesn't uh-huh. it?
Starts off country, and then it kicks in, and then it drops back to country. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Nice.
That was your second label that you started doing the rock and roll. The first label you were at was you were doing pure country.
I was with Decca, yeah,
right.
a couple of years.
So how did they respond to you wanting to head in this direction?
Well, I'm not sure. They signed me as a country singer.
Mm-hmm.
And the first rattle out of the bag I was doing, I Gotta Know, and Hot Dog, that made him mad.
Right.
Oh, really?
Because I'd already decided the direction I wanted to go. And after I once sang these rock and roll songs, I loved it.
Yeah.
And I felt like, hey, I found my home.
Yeah.
And the crowd was probably responding in a way that you didn't get with the country response, right?
Yeah, quite a bit. That was the strange part, too, Scott. The audiences in person loved these rock songs.
Mm-hmm.
And this teenage girl in Fringe up there singing what the guys sing. And they liked it. But I could not get disc jockeys to play it. You know, Elvis had a hard time, right, getting his
records at first, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In the mm-hmm. beginning. Well, they sure weren't going to play a young girl. I mean, that's what I decided, that there was no other reason.
Yeah,
they
just because of the power of the music, it wasn't sweet and, you know,
yeah.
like, yeah.
I wasn't traditional, so they
right.
weren't going to help me.
Interesting.
I guess the girl pop back then was very, very sweet,
yeah.
wasn't it? And,
yeah.
and
Grand Ole Opry style.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What little skirts and little pinafores and bows in their hair. And I come out in a tight fringe and high heels and long earrings.
Well, your mom, I believe, made your stage outfits, right?
Right.
And I understand that they were kind of controversial for the time compared to what other female acts were wearing. So what was that deliberate on your part to try to create some controversy?
Well, she had sewn for me all my life. You know,
okay.
She'd made most of my clothes. So she knew how to fit me.
Mm-hmm.
They fit like a glove. And it was this, she found this silky fringe. And really about all you have to do in that kind of a skirt is just pat your foot.
And it just starts
and
waving.
And you've got some movement
yeah.
going. So I wasn't really doing anything off color or anything. I was just standing, playing these up-tempo songs. But anyway, it went over in person, but I could not get a hit. I started recording rock in 56 and finally got a song. Well, my first number one song was Fujiyama Mama, but it wasn't in America.
It's Japan.
It was Japan, right. Yeah. They loved it, so that was my number one song. But I finally got Let's Have a Party, and it was in the pop charts, you know, like in the, it bubbled around there in the 30s or something, maybe into the 20s, but that's all it did, and then it fizzled out, and the next thing I knew, I was doing country again, because I'd given up. I had to keep my country.
Right.
Yeah.
Bass.
So talk about that decision then when you said, okay, I need to go back and do this. What were all the factors that went into that?
Well, it wasn't that I minded a great deal. I knew I was still going to be recording it, which I did for album things. But country music had already changed, beginning to really change.
From what to what for you?
Well, for background vocals and an acre of fiddles, you know, the Patsy Cline sound. And so my first country song that we put out in that style was a hit, a song I wrote called Right or Wrong.
Which we played
just
a few minutes ago.
Did you? Okay. So that was my break back into country music song.
Let's talk about you as a writer, because especially when you started doing the rock and roll, like you said, the radio sure wasn't going to play it, but nobody was writing rock and roll for women.
Yeah, that's when my I said, I just can't find anything except a cover. I covered a lot of Little Richard and Jerry Lee's and Elvis, but my dad said, well, you know, you've been writing country stuff. Try your hand at this. And he gave me an idea. He said, make it about some guy you're going with who's mean, you know, but you love him anyway. So I wrote Mean, Mean Man.
Right.
Yeah. And then I began writing several of my rock songs, Rock Your Baby and Cool Love and a bunch of those.
But you were writing country before that then. So when did you start cultivating that part of the craft as far as songwriting?
I always did it out of necessity.
Really?
Yeah, seems like I'm that sort. I'm not disciplined enough to say I'm going to sit down Monday for 2 hours or something and write a song. It's just if I get an idea and I need a ballad or something for a session, then I get busy and I write it.
Wow.
Well, you mentioned you recorded a lot of other people's stuff, and Hard-Headed Woman was one of those.
Yeah.
What was the reaction at first? Because the lyrics to that make sense for a guy to sing, you know, and I would imagine that women weren't too happy about somebody singing about a hard-headed woman. How was the reaction to a woman singing those lyrics?
Oh, I think they liked it.
Did they?
Yeah. Because actually it was a woman had the original on that.
Uh-huh.
Ernestine Williams, I believe. She had the cover. I heard it in a drugstore one day back when we could sit down and play records in the drugstore and have a Coke, you know. And I heard that, and I had to play it several times. And she was on Capitol, so I got the record. I said, I've got to sing that. And I'm sorry, are you talking about Hard-Headed Woman?
Yeah, yeah.
I got off the track. I'm sorry. That was Elvis's song.
Yeah.
I was thinking of Fujiyama Mama.
Well, that's a great song too.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, I was surprised when I heard that it was such a hit in Japan, and I guess it's you know, the different time, you know, but there, you know, because there's a lot of humor in there, and oh, yeah. But also you're referencing things, you know, and this is in the 50s, you're referencing things that had just happened,
yeah,
10 years great. Earlier, uh-huh. You know, so I think it's wonderful that they took it in the spirit that it was written in.
They wound up loving Americans. They still do.
So did you start doing a lot of touring there?
What bugged me was I couldn't get the airplay on it, and I was saying, why not? We won that war, guys, you know. Let's celebrate.
Oh, man.
They like it there.
Yeah, I'm sure they'd like it here.
But
well, listen,
girls like it, too.
That's awesome. Well, listen, we need to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with a whole lot more of rockabilly and rock and roll legend Wanda Jackson here on the Music Row Show.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show.
That is Rip It Up, Wanda Jackson, off of her album The Party Ain't Over. That is good stuff right there. Good stuff. Actually, during the break, you were saying you're actually working on a book that's going to be coming out soon. That sounds
right,
awesome. Is that like an autobiography, or are you focusing on your entire career?
No, it's just a biography. Yeah, a young man I'm working with, it's Scott Moe. Bomar, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Scott Bomar. Great writer. I've read the first draft, and I said, you've made my life seem interesting to me. That's pretty good, because I said, my life wouldn't be interesting to anybody. I mean, I've never been divorced. I've never, I didn't leave home and run away or nothing. I haven't ever done drugs. I've never been in rehab.
Darn, never trashed a hotel room?
Physical rehab.
Yeah, physical therapy is different.
Couldn't be too interesting, but they said, that is the story, that you stayed 60-something years in music, and yet that all of that has been separate.
Avoided all the traditional pitfalls.
The pitfalls. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that, and Hino touched on this a little bit ago, you know, of course your mom was there making your costumes. Uh-huh. Your dad toured with you. Mm-hmm. You met this handsome guy and got married, and then he quit his job at IBM and started touring with you.
That's right.
And now you also have your granddaughter going out with you, keeping you out of trouble.
I couldn't be bad if I wanted
to.
I know.
Yeah. How much bail money do you have to keep with you, Jordan?
Lots of
hush money.
Oh,
no, but that probably has a lot to do with why you've stayed so grounded, right?
Well, when I began, a girl's reputation, I mean, that's all that we had. It was very important.
Mm-hmm.
That a lady be a lady, and that was drilled into me from a young girl. And by Daddy traveling with me, it kept my,
It kept the opportunities for getting in trouble far away.
Yeah, I couldn't get in trouble. Yeah, he wouldn't. Wouldn't hear to.
Well, and
get in trouble, but I couldn't.
But think about this for all of our listeners. You're 17 years old. You're doing package tours with Elvis Presley, Johnny Cash, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis.
Yeah.
And you are a beautiful young girl in these fringe dresses. You better believe Dad's coming with you, right?
Well, he said he's coming to help me drive and to watch over the money.
Yeah.
I used to, I'd go out and do a little job around close, you know, by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd come back the next day, where's the check, honey, so I can get it. Oh, I forgot to get it.
You were just having so much fun.
Wow.
They can't pay me for having this much fun. Yeah.
Promoters love artists like that.
Right. Yeah. We'd like to have her back as soon as possible.
As soon as possible.
Now, before we go to break, you were also, in addition to the book, which comes out in June, and it's called Every Night's...
A Saturday Night, A Country Girl's Journey to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
Look at that. I remembered it.
Good job.
Yeah.
In addition to that, you're also doing some stuff with Joan Jett. I've been seeing videos and on Jordan's Facebook with things and pictures that you've been doing some stuff with her.
Right. Yeah, we have an album. We have the material for it. Like I said, I've been writing, and she's got some things. So I have the material, and we went to... New York City, spent a week for rehearsals mm-hmm. with her band, and so they know the songs. But now the problem is getting our schedules, because she lives in New York,
right?
Me in Oklahoma, and she works a lot. She
oh
really
yeah,
does. Uh-huh. And so far it just we can't get together. Now, that's awful.
No, but I cannot wait till that happens.
And once in a while, when she would have some time, I was too down with all this other stuff.
Right.
I couldn't sing, so.
Well,
I'm hoping it'll happen soon, though.
Good. Good, good. Can you imagine a Joan Jett,
that
Wanda
would be
Jackson
awesome.
Album?
That would be awesome.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, she's, I guess, just producing. I'm going to try to talk her into singing something with me, if she will.
Oh, I bet. I bet you won't have to twist too much. I bet. All right. One more break. We're going to be back with one last segment with the great Wanda Jackson. By the way, how do we find you on the internet, and how do we find out where you're playing and stuff?
I go to my website. Mm-hmm. I have a brand new one up and going. Very nicely done. Jordan, you posted on Facebook.
Yeah, and your Instagram.
Yep. She's my... media person, my
WandaJackson.com.
Yeah, perfect.
Uh-huh. All right, we'll be right back. You're listening to the Music Row Show.
Welcome back to the Music Row Show. That's Wanda Jackson doing You Know I'm No Good off of her album, The Party Ain't Over. And we were just talking before the break, you've got a new project you're working on with Joan Jett, but we just found out there's a whole bunch of other
Well, there's it's
DJ.
Another project.
Oh, another project.
It's a totally separate project.
Wow.
Is it the same project?
It's the same project.
That's what I said. It's the same project.
I know that's
why
what
you did
meant.
You contradict me? I know.
I don't even know why I would do that. But let's see. We got
Cyndi Lauper.
Cyndi Lauper, Van Zandt,
Steven
Van Zandt. Who else we got on there?
On what?
Your new album.
The new project.
Well, I don't know if all that's going to happen or not.
We're hoping on it.
That's what it's. Cyndi Lauper. She's just recorded Funnel of Love, and we did a TV show together over Thanksgiving, and we did it together.
Oh,
and,
wow.
We just got along great. I just love her. So I hope that she'll make it and some others.
But
it's really
okay,
not a Wanda Jackson and Friends.
Cool.
You know, it's not that album. We can twist their arms, come in, and kind of jazz it up a little bit.
Very good.
There you go. Well, how did you learn how to do that raspy sound in your voice, you know, when you transitioned from country? And did you have to do anything special to protect your voice out there singing night after night?
No, I kind of wish I had. There's times. No, when I was singing Fujiyama Mama, is when it actually really happened. And I couldn't get my producer, Ken Nelson, to be happy with as I didn't know what he wanted. He kept saying, no, let's do this. And I was getting frustrated. Mm-hmm. And so my daddy came in the studio, came to my aid, pulled me aside, said, Wanda, this is your song. It's your record. Get out there and rear back and sing it however you want to. I said, I can do that.
Wow.
And so that's when the growl happened. I was halfway mad and saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do.
I'll show you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and then, but in addition to the growl, if you listen to your country stuff, you're a great yodeler. I mean, you have one of those voices that can do so many different genres. I mean, is that something you worked at, or was it just what you can do?
Well, I can't do all of them, of course, but I've always loved a big variety of music. I like everything. As far as yodeling, when I was about six again, Mother and Daddy would take me to the dances with them, and they said I would stand all night in front of the bandstand, like this, watching. We lived in California then, so we had they'd go to dances with Bob Wills, Texas Playboys.
Wow.
Spade Cooley, Hank Thompson, and those big bands. Well, they nearly always had a girl in the band for window dressing, But the girls always yodeled. So in my young mind, I said, I'm going to be a girl singer, so I've got to learn to yodel. And Daddy had a big collection of Jimmy Rogers songs on old 33s. It's really neat. So the first yodeling song I learned was one of his, the Blue Yodel, number six. Yeah, it's the easy yodel, but that's how it started.
And you recorded it, because we played it before the show.
Yeah, we played that too.
That one?
Yeah, we did.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I tell people, if you want to learn to yodel, it's easy. You just get on a horse and have about 40 acres, and as you're riding, hey,
there you go.
Nothing to it.
There you go.
Simple as that.
Wanda, this has been such an honor to have you here. Again, WandaJackson.com. I hope our listeners are going to be on the lookout for your book later on this year, and hopefully a new album by the end of the year.
Well, in the meantime, go get this one, The Party Ain't Over.
And then Unfinished Business.
And Unfinished Business.
Are both
that
terrific.
One she did with Justin.
Justin Towns Earl.
Earl. And then Party Ain't Over she did with Jack White. I was just going for the opposite.
Yeah, good one.
Anyway, good one. Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. We actually have another great hour of the show coming up. We've got great songwriter and artist
Jamie Floyd
is going to be here in just a minute. So come on back to the Music Row Show.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.